Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching was recorded at our 2010 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Most people search their little brain up here and they say, I know all things. I couldn't even find my glasses yesterday and they were on top of my head. And they say, I just don't understand the Bible. It isn't talking about your peanut brain up here, but in the Spirit you have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And you do know all things. It's in here, but you got to first of all believe it and begin to start walking in it. So Elisha, as an Old Testament man who didn't have near what we have, did these things. We ought to expect this. And when the king of Syria heard about it, he says in verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? That's just old English for he panicked. What are we going to do? And look at Elisha here. He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You know, people will hear things like that and they'll get fired up. And again, they'll get excited and say, oh, praise God, God's with us. But then they don't understand it. And when they look out there and they see the armies, I mean, you could count the Syrians by 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. There was thousands of Syrians. And then you look over and you go, 1, 2, Elisha and his servant. You know, it preaches good to say, praise God, the Lord is with us. And people get all fired up. But then they go home and they look and they think, there's only two of me and there's thousands of them. And if people don't understand, they will let what they see and what goes on in their brain override what God has spoken to their heart. And let me just say this. There's a lot of people that don't believe anything is real that you can't prove in a test tube. They believe that if it's really real, then there has to be tangible, physical proof. And they're always trying to come up with some tangible proof so that they can make people believe. You know, I've got a friend of mine, or not a friend, but a person I've met, and a guy who lives in the Colorado Springs area who went on these expeditions and actually walked inside Noah's Ark. They found it. They brought back a piece of wood. They tested it, and he's put out a documentary about it, and he's tried to make people believe that Noah's Ark really exists. I believe it exists. I don't have any problems with him in there. But you know what? That's not going to make anybody believe in God. There are people that try and prove this and prove that and all of these things. The Bible shows us that even when Lazarus was raised from the dead, some of the people were there and saw him come out of the tomb after being dead for 4 days. And it said he was wrapped hand and foot with grave clothes. That means that he had bandages wrapped around him. It was impossible for him to walk. They didn't wrap his legs individually. They wrapped them together. He came out and stood at the entrance to the cave. So not only was he raised from the dead, but he was translated to the entrance of the cave. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And people saw that. And they took counsel how they could kill Lazarus and Jesus. We have the example where the rich man went to hell and he asked for water to cool his tongue. And Abram said, nope, can't do it. And he says, well, then send Lazarus back and let him go and tell my brothers lest they come into this terrible place. And he says, they have Moses and the prophet. Listen to them. And he said, oh, they won't listen to the word. But if somebody rose from the dead, they would believe. And he said, nope, if they won't hear the word, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. That's what the Bible says. You aren't going to prove, you aren't going to make anybody do anything. The Lord says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Did you know God could force people to believe? He could have a bird come land on everybody's shoulder and say, your name is. and tell them their name and speak something to them. He could have a dog walk up and bark out all of the instructions that you need. He did it with Balaam's donkey. He could write your name on a cloud. He could speak to you in an audible voice. He could force people. You know, Jesus, all he had to do was resurrect from the dead and just float over Jerusalem. Every person in Jerusalem had seen him crucified. And all he had to do was just appear in the sky and show people that he was alive. Man, they'd have all hit their knees. You know, if I'd have been Jesus, the first person I'd have appeared to wouldn't have been a woman, Mary Magdalene, who had had seven demons cast out of her. I'd have appeared to Pilate. I'd have shook his bed and I'd have woke him up and I'd have said, "Are your hands clean now, Pilate?" I'd have gone to those soldiers who blindfolded me and then spit in my face and smote me and said, "Prophesy if you're the Christ." And I said, "Let me tell you something, amen." I'd have read their mail. And yet the Bible, Jesus never appeared to a single person who wasn't already a believer. He never appeared to one unbeliever. He never showed himself to an unbeliever. See, again, we would make people believe. That is not the nature of God. When Jesus came to the earth, Jesus came as a baby, born to poor parents. And you know who he announced it to? Not to the Caesar, not to Herod. He announced it to shepherds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." God, some of you will struggle with this. God is awesome. He is absolutely awesome, but his nature is a meek, lowly God. He is not going to force any person to believe anything. He will not make a person bow down to him until final judgment. And all he's going to do is just enforce the choices that you've made. God isn't going to force people. He doesn't make things happen. And people are always trying to find up. They believe that the only thing that's real is this natural realm, and they have to have some physical, tangible proof that is going to make people believe. You have to believe with your heart. Romans chapter 11 says, "With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made. Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Hebrews 11:6. And faith comes out of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. If you are predisposed to not believe in anything you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, you could see a person raised from the dead and you won't believe it. I've seen people raised from the dead. The very first person I saw raised from the dead, I went home that night thinking, "Did I really see that?" And I'm the one who prayed for him. I went back to the church service and did you know it bombed? I didn't minister good. I saw a man raised from the dead and I got up and ministered and it wasn't very good. And I went home kind of discouraged after seeing a man raised from the dead. You know what? If you're in the flesh, it doesn't matter what happens. You aren't going to believe. Belief is, you have to choose to believe. My point is, see, that here was the physical realm, and in the physical realm, which most people are limited to, you are bound to it. You can't believe that anything exists that you can't see. You're going by sight. You're trying to figure God out with your brain instead of figuring him out with your heart. I'm not saying that following God is senseless. That's not true. It is great wisdom, but it's just different than this natural wisdom. For instance, when God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." That doesn't make any sense to your natural mind. If you need $1,000 and if you've only got $900, natural wisdom would tell you, don't give away anything you've got. You're short. You need everything you've got. But God's wisdom would say, man, you ought to give a minimum of $90 of that $900. And if you do that, God will bless you back and you'll have more. The natural mind would say, no, you'll have less. 900 minus 90 is only $810. But in God's economy, 900 minus 90 equals 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. I don't know how it works, but it works. And it makes perfect sense once you understand that I factor God into this. I get God's ability in it, and it's like taking 5 loaves and 2 fish. You give it to God, and it'll feed a multitude. You do it by yourself, and it'll feed one little kid. But see, people that are trying to figure this out with just their brain, they'll never get this. And so people who are locked into the natural would look at this example and say, you know what? Elisha lied. And this is what a lot of people think faith is. They think faith is just faking it. Faith is saying something is so when it really isn't so. But if you will say it so and believe it, then it'll become so. You might not phrase it that way, but did you know that's what most Christians believe that faith is? Most Christians believe that when you say, I believe I'm healed. You don't really believe you're healed, but you think if you say that you believe you're healed, then it'll become true. And I can prove that because I have people come to me all of the time that I try and get them to believe that they receive. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall, future tense, have them. But you got to believe you've had it now, and then future tense. It doesn't matter if it's 1 minute or 1 hour or 1 day, you shall in the future see it. But you got to believe you receive when you pray. And so there's people that will say, all right, I believe I'm healed. And then they'll run to a doctor to see if they're healed. You didn't really believe that you were healed, or you wouldn't have to go to the doctor to find out if you're healed. Isn't that exciting? I can tell some of you were really blessed by that. Well, I'm just checking to see if God did it. You got to believe that you receive, and then it shall come to pass. If you really, you know why I don't go to the doctor and get checked up for everything? Because I don't believe I'm sick. If you're going to the doctor and having him give you pills and do stuff, it's because you believe you're sick.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on what we've already been given in Christ. This teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM242 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 5th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries to help support this radio program and all of the other outreaches. You know, you could visit our website and learn a lot more about what's happening, but this ministry is impacting the world. There is much more than just this radio broadcast. We have a television program that reaches 2.2 billion people potential around the world. 15 Bible colleges. There's a lot of things happening. But you know, it takes a lot of money, especially when we give our materials away to those people who are in need. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you'd like to see it continue and be a blessing to someone else, please pray about partnership and then call us at 719-635-1111 and say you'd like to become a partner.